This is Christian Questions.
John F. Kennedy once said, "Efforts and courage are not enough without purpose and direction." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So on behalf of myself, I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
We're glad that you've chosen to spend some time with us. And Jonathan, what is our topic for this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? And our theme text is found in Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow.
I like the way it starts. Listen to this.
I do too.
This just in. The sower went out to sow. As a Christian, we look at Jesus not only as our Lord and Savior and not only as the ransom given for the sins of the world, but as a great teacher as well. One can spend a lifetime learning from him. One of the unique aspects of Jesus' teaching is the fact that he taught in parables and stories. And there were lots of stories. So folks, stay with us this morning as we look at one of those stories and see some remarkably clear lessons about life and the challenges of following Christ. So Jonathan, this morning it's about a story.
Yes, it is.
Don't we love stories?
We do.
Last week it was the story, the account of Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
And so this week, a little bit different. This is the story, the parable of the sower. We're going to be reading the story from Matthew 13, 3 to 9, but it's also found in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 8. And it's important to have all three of those gospels in mind, because as is typical of many of the stories, there's something in one gospel that's not in another one.
And that's right. They complement each other.
Right, right. When you put them together, you can get more of the detail and a better understanding.
Definitely.
So let's go through and just read. It's a very short story. Let's read the story.
And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear."
So there you have it. It's a simple story. There's not a whole lot of detail to it. It's a farmer sowing seeds. There you have it. How are we going to talk about this for 2 hours? Just watch. There is plenty in this story.
There really is.
And the interesting thing is Jesus explains it. He doesn't do that with most of his parables.
That's right.
So we're going to get into the explanation and so forth in a few minutes here. But before we get into any of that, let's go to a soundbite. And when you're talking about sowing seeds, who should you be listening to if you go to a soundbite?
A professional.
That's right.
A farmer.
So we have Farmer DeMint on with us via soundbite. This is from a website called Modern Parables. He's a great example of a farmer. He's an 80-year-old lifetime tiller of the ground. And at one point, I was listening to his dialogue, and he had his first garden when he was 6 years old.
That's neat.
So here's a guy whose whole life has been spent tilling the ground and farming. So let's just get a little bit of an introduction from Farmer DeMint from Modern Parables.
This is a seed grade of wheat that came from a local farm supply, and we'll put a portion of that in my little bag here. So they would hold this bag and that quantity of wheat about like that, and take a handful at a time and sow the wheat.
So he's explaining how it would have been done.
Yes.
Back in the day, so to speak.
Neat.
I love his accent.
Me too.
Because you know, when you hear him talk, you just get a sense of This is a guy who is a farmer through and through.
He loves what he does.
Yeah, he probably has soil running through his veins or something. So we've got a little bit of a look at it. We're going to be coming back to Farmer DeMint, obviously, as we go through this program and listening to his explanation of how things grow and so forth as we develop the parable. Now, Jonathan, before we get into the story itself, let's look at what Jesus says after the story, because he says something very, very interesting, and it can almost be puzzling in some ways.
And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted."
So they ask him, okay, why are you speaking in parables? And Jesus' answer is, because I want you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but I don't want them to know.
Now, that's a strange answer.
As a Christian, you look at Jesus as the savior of the world.
Yes.
Giving the message of the gospel to the world.
Everyone, yeah.
And yet, here, he's saying, well, they're not supposed to know. Why would he say that? Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to get your perspective. We're talking about the parable of the sower, and the question is, does God waste the seeds of the gospel?
And our website is christianquestions.net, and check out CQ Rewind on our website. It'll give you all the scriptures and transcript that we are going through today, and there's a lot of bonus material that you really need to check out.
Especially with this program, because that question about why Jesus would do that, we're going to be dealing with it, but the CQ Rewind and the bonus material goes into it in much more depth. It is a free service available exclusively at ChristianQuestions.net, so do check that out. So, Jonathan, it seems like there's an obvious separation here between the followers of Jesus and those who aren't following him.
There really are?
He is separating them. Mm-hmm. Now, he goes on and he says, and in further in Matthew 13, now, let's pick up with verses 13 through 15.
"Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them.'"
All right, now we need to really focus on this for a few minutes here, because Jesus, in giving the answers to why he speaks in parables, he says, "I'm going back to this prophecy in Isaiah," and he's actually quoting from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, and he's saying that in their case, you will keep on hearing, but you won't understand. You'll see and not perceive. The heart of this people is dull. They can't hear, or they can scarcely hear. They've closed their eyes, because if they hadn't, they would see and they would be converted. They would be convinced. So he's saying, "I'm speaking in parables to fulfill this prophecy so I don't convince them."
It's interesting, Rick. Heart sincerity seems to be a key here.
And there's Jesus seems to be saying that, well, you know, there's the vast majority of those people, I don't want them to get what I'm saying. Mm. And again, Jesus, any Christian will tell you, Jesus is the savior of the world. So why would he say, well, I don't want them to understand it? Why would he say that?
That's a good question.
866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to get your thoughts and perspective on this parable of the sower, on the question we're asking, as well as the parable itself and some of the meanings that we're going to be developing throughout the program here.
And that question is, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? I'm Jonathan here with Rick. This is Christian Questions.
And that's an important question because, okay, Jesus is seems like he's sowing the seeds of the gospel, but he knows that, they're not going to get it. So, you know, just kind of go on to the next one. It doesn't, at face value, it doesn't seem to make sense with the way we look at Jesus as the savior of the world. Let's continue in this section of Matthew 13, and let's go to verses 16 and 17.
But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it.
Now, interestingly, he's saying you're blessed. He's talking to his followers.
Mm-hmm.
Saying you're blessed to be able to see these things and hear these things and understand these things in a different way. Now, we also know that at that point in time, prophetically, the Jewish nation was in a blind state,
mm-hmm.
and they were going to reject him.
But they were in expectation of the Messiah.
Right.
Right.
So they were waiting and expecting and expecting, and then he comes along, and then they eventually reject him.
Mm-hmm.
So part of this, I think, has to do with that period of time.
Good point.
The period of time of the Jewish nation not being in a place to be able to receive. And we can see that through Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, because this sounds like it's talking about the same kind of a condition.
Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, you live in the midst of the rebellious house. Who have eyes to see but do not see, ears to hear but do not hear? For they are a rebellious house.
So that's another prophecy. Jesus was not quoting that particular prophecy, but that directly has to do with Israel. So Israel was in a state of not paying much attention to something that was incredibly important, and that was Jesus and the gospel. So here we have Jesus setting a format of teaching in parables. And interestingly, with this parable, just to sum up a couple of things, and then we'll really begin to get into the parable in earnest in our next segment. Sum up a few things. He tells a parable, and Jonathan, as we have discussed before, when Jesus talks in parables, he talks about things that they would understand.
Absolutely.
And
we learn best by picture learning.
And
we can visualize what he's saying.
Right. So, and especially if that picture is of something that you're familiar with.
Yes.
Because you can easily key in on it, easily focus on it, and say, okay, this is familiar ground here.
Yes.
So he's using something incredibly familiar to everybody in that area at that time, and that is the development of the ground. It's farming. And he tells a simple story. And the simple story has a lot of moving parts. Now, the interesting thing about this particular parable is that Jesus speaks the parable, explains why he teaches in parables, and then he sees it's necessary to explain the parable to his disciples.
So this is a great, great one.
And
it should give us a lot of insight.
I think it should, and it also sets a sort of a model for other parables, because he's telling us how to understand parables by explaining this one particularly.
Good point.
And in his explanations, he say, well, this is how you should understand all parables. And he starts to break down. This means that, and this means that, and this means that. So therefore, now you get the lesson. And it's a human nature thing to see something that's familiar and to be able to draw lessons and to correlate them to something bigger and higher.
It really is. That's great.
So, folks, that's what we're dealing with this morning. We're looking at this parable of the seeds and the sower and the meanings and a question about why would Jesus teach in a way that people wouldn't get it.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our question this morning, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? We're talking about the sower, seeds, path, the birds, stony places, thorny places, good ground. What do these words mean in symbol?
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website is ChristianQuestions.net.
And we are talking about this particular parable. And this is a unique parable, Jonathan, in that Jesus takes the time to really explain what he's teaching. And he doesn't normally do that.
Yeah, so this is like a template to
right.
understand all parables.
Right. So let's look at this template, and at the end of the last segment, you mentioned all kinds of elements in the parable. Now, what were they again? Go
okay.
slower this time.
All right. The sower.
Got it.
The seeds.
Mm-hmm.
The path. The birds. The stony places. The thorny places. the good ground.
So those are the elements, and Jesus actually comments on all of those things, actually except for the sower itself. He doesn't make a comment on the sower. We'll make the comments on
all
that.
All right.
Because I think they're pretty obvious. So let's get started with this. And folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to get your thoughts on the parable of the sower, and does God waste the seeds of the gospel?
And the conversation continues online at christianquestions.net. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also interact with us on Facebook and our always updated blog.
Always updated. That's what I like. The sower, Mark 4:14.
The sower sows the word.
Okay, so this is Jesus' explanation now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying when he talks about the seeds, it's really the word.
Yes.
And the word is the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to our farmer, our resident farmer, Mr. Farmer Dement, sir, from a website called Modern Parables. And he's just talking about sowing seed, sowing good seed and getting a good yield.
Okay, here's another example of how many killers come from one seed. You can see readily that that is one seed right there, one crown. There's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 12 potential heads off of that one seed. So you multiply 12 times whatever a head has in it, and you come out with the increase from one seed.
So Mr. Dement, Farmer Dement, is telling us that that one little seed produces a lot.
It does indeed.
And it just gives you a sense of that's what a good yield is. And that's what the story is about. It's getting a good yield. So now the question is, okay, getting a good yield where from what? That's really what we're getting into as we unveil the story, the parable of the sower.
And I like how he called it a crown of wheat. I never heard that before.
Right there. Love his accent. He's the kind of guy I can just listen to talk all day because he's just, you can see that there's this depth of knowledge and sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love to listen to people like that. All right, let's look at this now. Now, the sower, as we mentioned, Jesus doesn't define the sower, but it seems obvious that he's the sower.
Definitely.
Primarily, he's the sower. And let's look at John chapter 6, verses 35 to 40 to verify that.
Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me."
So when he talks about in the parable and his explanation, the sower sows the word, and then in another place Jesus tells us, "I have come from heaven to do the will of the one who sent me." You can say that, okay, the word obviously is God's word, and Jesus is literally carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally carrying it to deliver it. So it's the word of God spoken by Jesus. I think it seems to be one of those things that's, well, duh, Rick, of course.
He's the sower.
All right, let's just continue that John chapter 6.
"This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day."
So again, it's putting Jesus in the position of distributing the word of God and keeping those that the Father gives him. So there, and so Jesus obviously is the centerpiece of this, and the sower is the centerpiece of this story, in that the sower is the one that distributes the word, the gospel.
Yes.
And you can see it's distributed very liberally. It goes all over the place, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
So secondarily, I think it's pretty simple to understand. Okay, Jesus is the sower, but I think anybody who speaks the gospel can also be put into that position as a sower as well. And let's look at that from Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20.
"And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
So here's the great commission of Jesus saying, go preach the gospel throughout the whole world. That's what he says. Go to the whole world. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and so forth. And then he says, teaching them to observe all that I command you. So this sower, Jesus, is giving the responsibility of the continuation of sowing the seeds of the gospel to his followers.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our main question this morning, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Folks, take a look at stamps.com. There's a specific website for Christian Questions listeners to use to order stamps for your home or office, and that site is 11stamps.com. When you order here, a percentage is donated to our radio ministry, and the great thing is, this is a service that is so easy to use. No longer do you have to put up with slow service or long lines at the post office. Just click and order quick and help out Christian Questions. Tell your friends to help support Christian Questions by going to 11stamps.com. That's the numbers 11. STAMPS.com for all your postage needs. Stamps.com. I use it. I like it. Give it a try. Let's go to the seeds. We talked about the sower. Now the seeds. Luke 8:11.
Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God.
So we read it from Mark. We read it from Luke. Look, there's not a lot of heavy thinking here. Okay. We've been told the seed is the word of God. It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty simple. It's pretty easy to understand. Let's look now at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 and 12.
Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one may fall through such disobedience as theirs. Indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
Now, this scripture is interesting, Jonathan, in this context for a number of reasons. First of all, it talks about the word of God and what it can do. We'll get to that in a second. But in the verse before, it talks about, let's make every effort to enter into that rest so that no one may fall through such disobedience as theirs.
And what is the context there?
Well, the disobedience that he's talking about is the nation of Israel. In previous times, and he's saying they fell into a hard-heartedness and a disobedience and therefore lost out on tremendous blessing.
Privileges.
So it reminds me of what Jesus was saying when he's explaining why he teaches in parables. He's quoting Isaiah, and again, that was primarily initially pointing to Israel as being too sleepy to get it.
Their hearts became dull.
And he's saying, now the Apostle Paul in Hebrews is telling us, don't get that way. So one of the things that we need to understand is, in this parable of the sower, it talks about the different kinds of ground, and obviously the good ground is where the seed grows. I mean, again, this is not rocket science here. This is simple, straightforward understanding. And I think what Hebrews is adding, as we just begin to develop the parable, is that just because you're good ground doesn't mean you're bound to stay that way.
And we can learn from others' experiences before us,
right,
and try not to fall in the traps that they fell in,
and maintain the goodness of ground, so that we can develop something very, very significant. So I think the Hebrew scripture ends up helping us to get a sense of the urgency of this particular parable. I mean, it's just a story, but it's an urgent story when you think about it.
It is.
And what it means to us. Now, it says the word of God in the Hebrew scripture is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, it's not like you're telling a story and somebody's saying, oh, that's a nice story, tell me again. There's something much, much bigger than
that. It is.
And I think
it's life-changing.
And I think that along those lines of it being life-changing, I think that just the very word of God, even if someone doesn't really understand it, I think it has some kind of an impact on them somehow or other.
I agree with you. I agree.
And what it tells us here is that the word of God is able to see through all of the things that we may just, all the walls and the barriers that we may put up. It's able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's pretty powerful stuff.
Oh, that is.
The message of the Word of God is a message of it is a message of judgment in many ways, but it's also a message of great salvation and of great hope. And it's a prophetic message that gives us a sense of history that has already happened, history that is happening, and future history that is going to happen. So the Word of God is very comprehensive. So when he says the sower sower sows the word, and the seeds are the Word of God, that's a powerful thing. It's not just, oh, let me tell you about the story of Jesus being born in the manger. You know, this is big.
If you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our question, does God waste the seeds of the gospel?
And folks, check us out at christianquestions.net. There's also some videos up there that you might be interested in. Maybe you're interested, I don't know. Videos of what it looks like before we get started in the morning on the program, and what we talk about during the commercials. The little things that you just might want to know what goes on here, exclusively at christianquestions.net. Jonathan, let's take a little bit of a turn here as we look at this parable. And there's an organization or a website called SO4J-TV. And I think that means SO, sold out for Jesus.
Okay.
All right? TV. And they did this thing where they did a lot of interviewing of people about what it takes to get to heaven. And we're going to be dropping in on the question and the answers that many, many people give. So let's go to our first cut of what it takes to get to heaven from SO4J-TV.
What do you think it takes to get to heaven?
I guess for everyone it's different. Pretty much holding up to your morals and being, you know, integrity, and just living your life to the best that you can, and hope that you've done everything right throughout your life.
Be a good person. Be good. Don't get in trouble.
All right, there's some answers.
Yeah.
What does it take to get to heaven?
A lot of variety there.
Yeah, with morals, living up to your integrity, live life to be the best that you can.
Be a good person.
Be good, don't get in trouble. That sounds like a younger person saying that. Like, don't get in trouble. What does it take to get to heaven? Is that what it takes to get to heaven, or is there more to it than that? Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to get your thoughts on what it takes to get to heaven, on the parable of the sower and the seeds, and what it all means.
And our website is christianquestions.net. Rick, is getting to heaven different for everybody?
Well, that's a good question. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. Is getting to heaven different for everybody, or are there certain guidelines that open the door to heaven? Now, we got a door number one and a door number two thing going there, and I think door number two. But anyway, let's just see what everybody thinks on that. Let's look at Matthew 4, verses 3 to 4, because this, I think, actually begins to help to answer that particular question.
The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God."
So now here you have Jesus being tested in the wilderness.
Yes.
This is at the very beginning of his ministry. He's baptized and he walks away for 40 days. And he is meditating and fasting and praying during this time, and Jesus is visited by Satan, the tempter, and he's saying, "I know you're hungry, you haven't eaten, turn these stones to become loaves of bread." And Jesus' answer is, "One doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's actually a scripture from the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's saying is that it is the Word of God that supports us. It's not the physical things that we need to be worried about and need to be focused on. It's the Word of God. So in this parable where it says the sower sows the seed and the seed is the Word of God, again, every angle you look at it, the Word is big. It's not just some little story. It's significant.
It has to do with eternity, right?
Yeah, it really does. It has to do with eternity, and we need to be able to grasp that this seed. Now, in the next segments, we're going to be talking about the development of the seed, but the seed itself, it is incredibly important.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our question this morning, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? What is Jesus illustrating with the different types of ground? Is it a mystery? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and that means we're on right now. And our website is christianquestions.net.
We're looking at this particular parable, and we are focusing on the different aspects of the parable. We looked at the sower, which is Jesus primarily. We looked at the seeds, which is the Word of God. And the Word of God is a big deal. It's not some little deal. It's a very big deal. So now let's look at where the seeds get sown. Where do they end up with, and what ends up happening as a result? And that's where the question comes from. Does God waste the seeds of the gospel? Because in the parable, it seems like a lot of the seeds are sown places that it doesn't have a very good end result.
That's right, Rick. And the first is, it's sown in the path.
The path, all right. So, we have seeds that fall along the road, and they're trampled underfoot, the birds come and eat them up. Boy, that doesn't sound very good for the seeds now, does it?
No.
Let's go back to our resident farmer, Mr. DeMint, sir, from a website called Modern Parables, and he's talking about what happens when seeds are sown or seeds drop along a pathway.
Okay, this is a lane or a walkway or a heavy use area here, which is quite compacted and hard, and it would be impossible to get a good stand of wheat or any crop on an area like this. And this is very similar to what you would find in the roadways between property lines of years ago.
So he's just saying, look, it just doesn't work.
Gotcha.
Seeds fall on there, and it's not going to work so well. Let's look at Matthew 13:19.
When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom seed was sown beside the road.
So it's interesting how Jesus says that and he's interpreting the parable. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, so again, when it says the seeds are the word, he's saying the word of the kingdom. He's really speaking of the gospel, of the kingdom, and he's speaking of the gospel in its entirety, I think. He says, and doesn't understand it. All right, so they hear it, but they don't get it.
But Satan comes and snatches what they did hear.
Right, so the little that they got
is gone.
Yeah, it just gets taken right away. That doesn't seem fair, now does it? And again, that goes back to the original, in the beginning of the program, we were saying, well, you know, why does Jesus teach in parables so people won't understand? And you'll think, look at that, and now you're saying, here, these folks don't even, it says they don't even understand it. What does it mean to understand?
Well, it means to put together, to comprehend, and by implication, to act piously.
So they're not able to put together. Because it says they don't understand it. They're not able to put it together or to comprehend it. And then, even before that there is that ability can even begin to be developed, what happens? Satan takes it.
Snatches it away.
Right. And he doesn't say he just sort of meanders in and just kicks it off to the side.
He has a purpose in his mission.
Yeah. And I think that's a good way to put it. He has a purpose in his mission. And so it says Satan snatches it away. Now, what it says in the parable is that the birds come and eat the seed.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at the meaning, if you will, and you've got Satan and the bird sort of in a parallel universe here.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. And let's go back to our friend the farmer here for a very quick look or an understanding of his view of the birds.
You know, birds are scavengers, and they'll pick up anything that's edible that's loose. Whether it might have been pigeons or ravens or what have you. You sow down the seed and the birds would fly in behind and pick up a lot of it.
So he says it pretty simply. The birds are scavengers. You're just going to pick up anything that's hanging around.
Sure.
That hasn't been secured somewhere.
I think of seagulls out here. Oh, they're a mess.
Well, yeah, and Jonathan is Mr. Clean. You can just imagine when there's a bunch of seagulls around. He gets all sorts of out of sorts, I'm telling you. So he's saying that the birds, they come, the seed doesn't even have a chance to even get familiar with the ground, so to speak. It's snatched away.
And scavenger, Satan, evil.
Yeah, it just doesn't come across nicely.
It all fits together in a picture, though, in a symbol.
It really does. It really does. So Satan, so when you look at, okay, who's at fault for the lack of understanding on the part of the pathway people? Is it the people in the pathway who don't understand?
I don't think so.
See, are they at fault for not understanding?
I think it's Satan.
Because Satan doesn't even give it a chance.
Right.
And it gets snatched away. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. We're talking about the parable of the sower.
And our website is christianquestions.net. And check out our archive programs. We have quite a variety of subjects to listen to.
Also, look into CQ Rewind. That is available at the website. It is a free service, and it gives you the scriptures and some of the context of the scriptures. There's bonus material. Again, it's a free service and exclusively from ChristianQuestions.net.
Graphics and illustrations.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Rick, let's head to the phones. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. And I love a Bible study. And just to connect quickly to the special day, you fellows were just saying how God feeds the birds of the air. That's my obsession, to talk about my Heavenly Father, how He feeds all of us, and He's a wonderful Father. He's the best Father we have. Always there when we need him. So happy Father's Day, fellas.
Well, thank you, sir.
You too.
Thank you. Yeah, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? I would say no. God does not waste anything. As a scripture to that is Matthew 24:13, I believe it is. It says that this gospel, 24:14, the gospel would be preached as for a witness. So there's a witness being given throughout the world, and then the end would come. So that's the purpose for God's preaching, and those who take on the responsibility, the privilege of preaching. So God wastes nothing. Your question on what does it take to get to heaven?
Yes.
Somebody said that. To get to heaven, turn right and go straight.
I like it.
Now that's a good answer.
Anyway, to get to heaven, I would say Matthew 7:14. Matthew 7:14 tells us right now how to get to heaven. And I have one more scripture which connects also beautifully to your issue of why in parables. That is such a mystery, and yet there's such a simple answer. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, remember the eunuch was returning from worshiping at Jerusalem?
Yes.
And on his way back, he was reading from Isaiah 53, and he was baffled. He says, what's this talking about? What's it all about? Very mysterious to him. So God sent Philip to explain to the eunuch, and the eunuch says, how can I understand this unless someone explains it to me? You see, unto you it is given to know, to you, to Jonathan, to all of those who have a hearing ear, it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. And that's why the parable of the sower is a beautiful parable, and the Bible study is timely, and in time all people have to know and come to an understanding of the Bible and our Heavenly Father. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Julius. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, bye-bye.
I like that answer. How do you get to heaven? Turn right and go straight. And I would say follow in the footsteps of Jesus, because he laid out the pathway for that. So thanks, Julius, so much for that. And for mentioning a Father's Day, it is Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers
and
out there.
To you too, sir.
You too.
And let's touch on, I got a Father's Day story, but not quite yet. Let's touch on, get back to this, the seeds and being taken away. by Satan. It says he snatches him away. It's not a pretty picture when he does that. 1 Peter 5:8, different picture, but the same concept.
Be of a sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour.
That doesn't sound good at all. And so why am I laughing? Okay.
He has a mission, like we said.
He does. He absolutely does have a mission, and the mission is to thwart the spreading and the taking hold of the gospel.
That's right.
And so when you have, in this parable, Satan snatching him away, he's going to take away and create difficulty for anyone anywhere that he possibly can in relation to the seeds. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to get your perspective on the sower and the seeds. And, well, like Julia said, how do you get to heaven?
And does God waste the seeds of the gospel?
Let's look at another example of Satan being the wily devil that he is in trying to get Peter.
Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. When once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers.
So that's in Luke 22, 31 and 32. And so Jesus is aware of Satan's looking to stumble and take Peter. But Jesus is basically saying, you're going to be okay. And when you finally come to your senses, because he knows he's going to deny him, you need to be strong for your brothers.
That's right.
So The potential then was for Peter to have some of that stony, or that hard-heartedness that this parable is explaining.
That's right, that the birds would come and snatch it away if they could, but Jesus prayed for Peter.
All right. Let's look again, or let's listen again, I should say, to for the SO4J TV, their series of interview questions on what does it take to get to heaven. Here's a few more answers.
What do you think it takes to get to heaven?
And just be a general, nice, caring person.
Treat people well, you know, love, don't harm people.
I believe in you're getting to heaven if you believe that there is a higher power.
Okay.
What do you think it takes?
Oh, there we go. He wants to ask again. He's a very anxious guy.
So nice, caring person, love, no harm, and higher power.
All right.
A lot of different thoughts.
And again, in some ways, they seem to be sort of in the general right direction, but I think there's more to it than that. Mm-hmm. Folks, what do you think? It's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means you're on right now. Love to get your perspective on what does it take to get to heaven in the parable of the sower and the seeds.
Well, Rick, even Satan tried to take the word from Jesus, didn't he?
He did, and that was unfortunate. We don't have time for the whole scripture, but in Matthew 4, verses 5 to 7, he's telling Jesus to stand on the pinnacle of the temple and throw himself down. And Jesus says, I can't do that because you don't put God to the test like that.
Right.
Satan tries to thwart the gospel in all places. Let's make some, as we're running out of time here for this first hour, let's make some observations regarding the pathway and the birds and that hard inability for the seed to even take root because the ground is too hard. What are some observations?
The path is not supposed to be a place for planting.
Okay, it's not supposed to be a place for planting. One of those things that Jesus said, I teach in parables. Why? Because they're not going to get it.
And Rick, the seeds were left there to be trampled on, basically.
The seeds were not noticed as anything of value when they're on the pathway. They just were walked on. So the value of the gospel is not even recognized.
Right, and they were eaten by the birds.
So the only value was to feed the scavengers, which then took the value of the seeds away because then the seeds couldn't do what they're meant to do, which is produce a crop.
Right, and seeds had no chance to germinate.
And I think that's the thing that's important in this. The seeds, there was practically no chance whatsoever because the ground was too hard. They got trampled on, and if that wasn't enough, the birds came and took them.
And the bottom line, Satan is always looking to thwart the gospel.
So as we look at the seeds and the pathway and the birds, the beginning of this story does not start out well. It does not start out like Jesus is saying, wow, this is a real success story here. This is a story of great failure to understand and failure to germinate with something that's incredibly important, the seeds of the gospel. In the second hour, we're going to look further at the parable and see what it takes to create the environment for the gospel to truly grow in someone's heart. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again after the news and all of that. But until then, the question at hand, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? We'll be back soon, but till then, think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Arthur Ashe once said that true heroism is remarkably sober and very undramatic. It is not the urge to surpass all others at whatever cost, but the urge to serve others at whatever cost. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is that subject this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? Our theme text is found in Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow.
So we're talking about a story that Jesus is telling. It's the story of the sower and the seeds. And in this story, Jonathan, there's a number of key players as we recap the first hour. And we want to welcome in those listening at 100.3 FM in Knoxville, Tennessee, WNOX. Welcome to the second of our hour of our program. If you're not able to get the first hour because it's not on the air in your area, you can always go to the website at christianquestions.net and get the archive there. They're available. This one will be there later today. So as we recap this story, Jonathan, Jesus is telling a story, and there's a number of key players.
That's right. The sower, the seeds, the path, the birds, the stony places, the thorny places, and the good ground.
The sower is Jesus primarily. The seeds is the good word of the gospel. And the pathway are those whose hearts are too hard to even receive the seed. And these are some of the things that we talked about in the first hour. And let's just quickly go through some of the observations at the end of the last hour that we talked about regarding the pathway and the birds that take up and snatch the seeds away.
The path is not supposed to be a place for planting.
All right, it's not supposed to be a place, but some seeds fall on it anyway.
And the seeds left here were trampled on, not noticed as of any good value.
So the seeds are not paid attention to as seeds. They're just there and they're walked on.
Yep, the seeds not trampled were eaten by the birds.
So either they're trampled to death or eaten up by birds.
Snatched up.
Not a good situation for a seed. If you're a seed, don't go to the pathway.
Seeds here have practically no chance of germination.
Because there's nothing to be able to hold on to. There's nothing to hold root to. The ground is too hard.
And Satan is always looking to thwart the gospel.
So those are some of the things we talked about in the first hour. What do you think it takes to get to heaven? We were looking at that question continually through the first hour. And before we get back to our story in the rocky and stony places, Jonathan, what are some of the other things our listeners need to know?
Well, if you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut 06320. And you can contact us on the web at christianquestions.net. There are many archive programs to listen to on a variety of subjects. Again, that's christianquestions.net. Also, at our website, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The first, the summary version, includes excerpts from the program, transcripts, and scriptural citations. It's a free download. The second is CQ Rewind, the full edition. That's available by email sign-up only and includes comprehensive excerpts, transcript, and fully quoted scriptures, plus bonus material, all presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. Now, that's also available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them out at christianquestions.net. CQ Rewind. You heard the program. Now see it as well.
All right, thank you for that, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
Yes.
Let's get back to our story. What do you think it takes to get to heaven? We're talking about God and the seeds of the gospel, God's word being the seeds of the gospel. We're going to be looking at the stony places. Jonathan, we do have a call that's been holding on for some time. Why don't we go to the phones first?
All right, we have Samuel from Indiana. Good morning, Samuel, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, and good morning to you.
Thank you, sir.
You want me to? The question I want to ask is, when you die, and do you go straight to heaven, or you go straight to hell?
Okay, that's a little bit off of our subject here.
Well, we talk about heaven, and I've been listening to your radio show for a long time. I listen to it mostly every Sunday morning, and I like your broadcast. But I have this question, and you're asking them people about going to heaven, and I want to know if
you want to know if it happens right away.
Yes, I want to know. Or are you in the grave for till judgment day?
Okay, well, and we're going to give you a very quick answer on that because it's a little bit off subject. But Samuel, the way we understand it is that there are two parts of salvation, and those who are called of Jesus, as in this parable, as we're getting to in the second hour, do have a direct resurrection to spiritual places, to heaven. We do believe that the rest of the world, though, waits in the grave until the day of judgment, and that day of judgment is not a day of misery and woe, but a day of actual judgment and testing, according to scriptures. So, Samuel, thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate your listening, and we appreciate your question.
Thank you very much, and God bless all you people.
Thank you. Take care.
Very much.
All right, so thank you to Samuel from Indiana for calling in and participating with us. And again, folks, the number is 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. Let us know what you think. We're talking about the parable of the sower.
And our website is christianquestions.net.
Let's go on to the stony places, Jonathan, and Jesus explains them in Mark 4:16-17.
In a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away.
So now we're getting more into the meat of the matter, so to speak, because now you're getting into places where the seed actually does germinate.
Yes.
And it does begin to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
here,
received with joy.
It is. So there's something good that happens here.
Yes.
But there's also some very difficult things that happen here. Before we go back to the phones, let's go back to Farmer Dement. And for those of you who just joined us for the second hour, Farmer Dement, we're getting some sound bites from him. He's an 80-year-old farmer from a website, Modern Parables. And he's talking about developing seed. And he's been farming since he was 6 years old. So he knows a little bit about it. And he's going to talk to us here about seeds growing or attempting to grow in rocky ground.
When we sow seed on a glady area or an area that has very shallow soil, it dries out so quickly that the plant cannot mature in a normal time and bears no fruit, bears no grain. You have a stunted plant to begin with, a stunted seedling. And then from the lack of fertilizer or fertilizer elements, plant growth elements, and the lack of water, we have a stunted plant. If it dries up a little bit, then there's no resistance to those adverse conditions, and it dies in hot weather.
So he's just giving us a professional's point of view.
Yes.
That, okay, the plant can begin to grow, but it does not have the ability to put down deep roots. And stunted. It's stunted right from the beginning.
And bears no fruit.
And that's one of the things that's important here. It bears no fruit. Let's go to James 1:21-24. Oh, no, we better not do that. Let's go to the phones first, and then we'll do that scripture.
All right. We have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday.
To you, too.
And happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
James 5:7. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. God does not waste his seed. His call goes to everyone. What we see as barren ground may one day produce a rich harvest. Matthew 13:29-30. If you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Even those who seem to reject grace can be a source of grace as an opportunity for charitable love. But those offered grace from God and love from their brother must accept it and act upon it. They themselves, with faith, must choose their growth. 1 Peter 1:23. You have been born anew, not from perishable, but from imperishable seed, through the living and abiding word of God.
Randall, thanks so much.
God bless you guys.
Take care.
You know, in the first hour, Julius called in and said he loves a Bible study, and Randall seems to love a Bible study because he just gets right in there with the scriptures and very, very appropriate and pertinent comments.
Mm-hmm.
And focusing us on the ability to have the gospel grow in us and to be able to be windows of grace, but also to be able to look for grace from others as well. So thanks, Randall, so much. We appreciate your thoughts, your scriptures, and your comments there. And Jonathan, this I think actually fits in very well with what Randall was saying, James 1:21-24.
Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls.
And again, it's receive the word that's already implanted. So it's implanted, but you still have to do some receiving.
That's
so,
right.
And that helps us to understand that the challenges of the stony ground, because, okay, it's implanted, but that ground is not still doing the receiving process.
You need to do your part.
Right.
And continuing on, it says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was.
So again, if we are going to be good ground for the seeds of the gospel, what this James scripture is telling us is to make sure you understand what you're made of and continually assess yourself.
And Rick, I think there's a lot of outside sources that can injure someone once they receive the gospel with joy. I was thinking of peer pressure from family or friends.
Mm-hmm.
How about when tragedy strikes after they just received this good news? Or they could, you know, possibly lose their faith based on an event that affected their life.
So the outside things,
yes,
affect what's inside.
Yes.
And because what's inside has not taken a strong enough root.
Exactly.
Because you're too crowded out by those other things. And mm-hmm. I think that helps to put this all in perspective. And folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website is christianquestions.net. And check out CQ Rewind. This is a great program. And the bonus material, Rick, you are sharing with me, great information, goes into much more depth than we're able to have time to right now.
And especially on that question from the first hour is, why would Jesus teach in parables so everybody doesn't understand?
Right.
And the bottom line is the answer to that, part of the answer, can't give it in full here, but is that there's two different parts of salvation. And the Rewind bonus material really covers that well. Jonathan, let's jump down to another soundbite here as this segment seems to float by. This is from SO4J-TV, Sold Out for Jesus TV, and they're doing these little on-the-street interviews of what it takes to get to heaven. They're asking the question,
what do you think it takes to get to heaven?
You gotta keep going to church and pray to God and do the right thing and go to heaven.
I don't know for sure. I'm a spiritual person, so I just have my own beliefs. I was raised Lutheran, so they have their own guidelines.
Okay, so you've got a number of perspectives, and mm-hmm. if you missed the first hour, you can certainly get it at christianquestions.net in the archive section. Also, there's a player right in the center of the front page that later today this program will be uploaded. You can listen to it in its entirety. But a lot of people's perspective is, well, be good. Have integrity.
Go to church.
Help others.
Pray.
And you can go to heaven. What does it take to go to heaven? Is there more to it than that? Jonathan, let's, as we wrap up this segment, let's make some observations regarding the rocky ground.
Seeds can take root here, Rick.
They can take root in the rocky ground.
Seeds do take root here quickly.
All right. They take root quickly because there's not a lot of depth for them to burrow down in.
And there's great joy, great emotion at receiving God's word.
And that you kept bringing that up. There's great emotion in the receiving of God's word in this rocky ground, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, but as with any highly emotional experience, it's only temporary.
And I think that's something we need to really focus on. When we have an emotional experience, it is temporary.
Upon being tested for the word's sake, emotional acceptance cannot bear the weight of the trial.
And that's exactly what you were saying.
Yeah.
When difficulties come along, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, emotion doesn't carry you through. You need something bigger and stronger than that.
Falling away is inevitable as the lack of depth becomes evident.
Because the only depth is the emotion. And the final point here?
Don't mistake emotion for spirituality.
Don't mistake emotion for spirituality. That's what happens in the context of the rocky ground. It's an emotional, joyous experience, but it is not a truly spiritual experience, and inevitably, failure is a result.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? Next up, what else could hinder us from protecting and cultivating God's word in our lives?
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.net.
And we're looking at this parable in pieces. We just did the stony ground. And in the stony ground, Jonathan, there wasn't a depth of soil.
There wasn't.
So the seed could germinate and spring up, but it had nothing to hold on to. So when persecution came as a result of the word, it didn't have the strength because it was a joyous and emotional experience, but it wasn't a deep spiritual experience.
Yes. The next one is the thorny places, Rick.
So now in the thorny places, it's different. And again, it's a difficult end result here. Let's look at Mark 4, 18 and 19.
And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
So here you have the ground that it can have some depth.
It can take good root here, right?
It has the possibility, but it also has to wait in line, is what it looks like here. And let's go back to Farmer DeMint from Modern Parables talking about thorny ground or crowded ground and just get his perspective on what happens in that environment.
And this is a very good indication of plant competition, where native species, which we may call weeds, compete with our crops. And we can see a very good example of it. The plants are so close together that it can't get enough sunlight. They can't take up enough moisture. They can't take up enough nutrition out of the soil to make a normal growth. So we just get a little spindly plant rather than a big healthy plant.
So very well said.
Yeah.
Very well said. Puts it in perspective. He called it plant competition.
I like that. So it's crowded out.
It is. It's absolutely crowded out. The plants are so close together that there's not enough sunlight, not enough moisture, not enough nutrition out of that good soil to be able to produce a big healthy plant. It's rather this little spindly plant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, growing up, I was always a little spindly kid. So I can relate to that, all right? So, again, though, the point here is that the ground is good, but it's preoccupied. It's already got too many other things happening in that ground. Is that the way you are, folks? I mean, think about that. Is that where we sit? How do you get to heaven? What is required of us in terms of being good ground for the seeds of the gospel? Give us a call at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to get your perspective.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick, and our website is christianquestions.net.
Jonathan, let's look at Matthew 6, 19 to 21, because Jesus is giving a consistent a message regarding his followers' attitudes towards earthly things.
Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
So he is saying that treasures on earth are going to get in the way. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And in the parable, it's saying there's already too many things growing in that good ground for the seeds of the gospel to be able to truly take root and be effective. There's too many other things in the way. There's too many earthly things, too many worldly things, too many desires, too many focuses, so that the seeds of the gospel just don't have a chance. Let's go to a different kind of a soundbite now. Let's go to Stephen Covey. He's giving a speech talking about five emotional cancers. And I love this in this context because I think it helps us to understand the kinds of things that can get in the way and really choke out the gospel. This is Stephen Covey.
The attitude and spirit of criticism, of comparing, of complaining, of competing for a sense of your own worth, and of contending, that is a mean spirit kind of argument, kind of a contention. These are five metastasizing cancers: criticizing, complaining, comparing, competing. Not in a basketball game or in a marketplace, but competing for a sense of personal worth, and then contending, the spirit of contention.
He really nails some things there.
Wow.
And I think it's very appropriate to look at these kinds of things: criticizing, comparing, complaining, competing for your own sense of worth, and contending.
It's a mean-spirited, cancerous emotion.
And the point that he's saying, or that he's bringing out, is these five things, they take away from your focus on other things.
Mm-hmm.
And these five things can perhaps be some of the things in that thorny ground that just move our focus off of what it should be on. The gospel has a chance to grow there, but it's too crowded. The ground is good, but it's already taken up.
It doesn't seem to be valuable enough because of the other distractions.
Our number is 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. It means we're on right now. We'd love to get your thoughts and perspective on the parable of the sower. Does God waste the seeds of the gospel? Folks, take a look at Dish Network. You can save a ton of money and help Christian Questions Radio grow. Plans start at just over $20 a month with a wide variety of channels, and you're fully digital. They have the most high-definition options at the best prices. Dish Network also allows you to add specialty channels without buying huge packages. There is no equipment to buy. Start saving today with Dish Network. Help support Christian Questions Radio today by calling Christian Questions Dish Network number 800-249-8229. That's 800-249-8229. That's Dish Network. Give it a try.
Rick, the thorny places reminds me of the story of the rich young ruler.
And that's a very effective and important story because it puts things in perspective. And let's go through that story briefly here.
And someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may attain eternal life?" And he said to him, "If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourselves." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking?"
So the interesting thing about this rich young ruler is he's very sincere.
He is.
He's been trying to live up to the law, and it sounds like he's been doing a relatively good job at it, because in I think it's in the Luke account of this story, the account says that Jesus looked upon him and loved him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jesus appreciated the sincerity mm-hmm. of his trying to keep the law, but this young man also knew he was lacking something.
And Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, Go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.
So here, Jesus lays it out. Okay, here's what you're lacking. This reminds me of the question that Samuel asked earlier in the program. You know, what does it take? How do you get to heaven? Or, you know, what happens when you go to heaven? Jesus is telling this rich young ruler, okay, you're doing good things, like all those sound bites, do mm-hmm. good, be nice,
right.
and all that. You're doing all of that. That's good. But now, Don't be focused on your possessions.
But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
So this rich young ruler at this point in his life was a great example of that thorny ground. He had the right kind of heart. He had the right kind of soil, but it was too crowded. You couldn't fit the gospel in because he was too attached to the other things and not attached enough to spiritual things.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. If you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. Does God waste the seeds of the gospel?
Also, check out our website at christianquestions.net. There's some great stuff on there. We've got archives of many other programs. We have Seeker Rewind is available there, which gives you a PDF of the program and the scriptures and the comments and its graphics and illustrations. Very easy to follow along.
Also, Facebook and our blog is always updated.
And if you want one more thing, wait, there's more. There are some videos on the website of what it looks like getting ready for Christian Questions early in the morning and what we talk about during commercials.
Again, our website, christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, before we get back to another soundbite, quick Father's Day story.
Yeah, I want to hear it. I've been waiting.
Because it is Father's Day. My two daughters, my son is down in Virginia, but my two daughters, Emily and Amy, are going to be taking me to a movie this afternoon.
Oh, nice.
And they're going to be taking me to the Green Lantern movie. Now you may ask, why are they taking you to the Green Lantern movie? Go ahead, ask me.
Why are they taking you to the Green Lantern movie?
Jonathan, I'm glad you asked that question, because there's a story behind it. Last year on Father's Day, my grandson Dominic, who I love to talk about, you know.
Oh, yes.
Gave me a Grandfather's Day card, and it had three superheroes on the cover.
All
it
right.
had Superman, Spider-Man, and Green Lantern.
All right.
And from that day forward, he became Spider-Man, and I was Green Lantern.
Okay.
To this day, I don't know what Green Lantern does.
So you're going to find out
today. I'm going to find out today. And that little simple mindedness, that innocence of a child, and they enter into the story. And every day, you know, I say good morning, Spider-Man, and he says good morning, Green Lantern, and we go on with our day. So anyway, a little bit of a Father's Day story for you there.
Very
about
nice.
my beloved little grandson Dominic. Jonathan, we're looking at the parable of the sower and the seeds. We're looking at the thorny ground. And this is a very, very telling part of the parable, because the ground has potential.
It does.
But it's just too crowded out. Let's go to another soundbite. This is, we're calling this soundbite Courage Stands Strong. This is with Francis Chan from Bluefish TV. And he's just talking about what it takes to really rise above the crowding out of our lives. Courage stands strong.
Jesus says you should actually be happy when someone puts you down for following me. God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. As courageous as we want to be, there will be those times when we mess up. Even if the entire planet is against you, courage stands strong. Even if it stands alone.
I love that last statement.
Absolutely.
Even if the entire planet is against you, courage stands strong, even if it stands alone. And that's what it takes to literally weed out that thorny ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we leave it the way it is and we are preoccupied with all of those other things, the gospel doesn't have a chance.
Well, Rick, observations about the thorny ground, the presence of thorns proves the ability of the soil to produce.
So we have looked at that. The soil is good.
There's good potential.
It absolutely is good, and you know it because things are growing there.
Yeah, but there are three elements that compete with the wheat: worries of the world, deceitful riches, and the desires for other things.
So those three things are in direct competition with what Jesus says is most important, and that creates a significant challenge.
And none of these other things, Rick, are fruitful. They're just consuming.
And I think that's an important point to just stop at for a second. None of these other things, they're not fruitful. The worries of the world, is that fruitful?
No.
The deceitfulness of riches. Now, sure, you can do things with money, but it's talking about the deceitfulness of riches. Is that fruitful?
Not at all.
The desire for other things. Is having things...
Materialism.
Is it fruitful?
No.
So all of these things, while they're there and they grow, they're just consuming. They're not producing something of great significance. They're just consuming the nutrients.
Well, the wheat can grow in this environment, though it cannot accomplish its mission.
So it can grow, but because it's so crowded, it can't accomplish its mission.
And don't mistake acceptance of the word as application of the word.
And again, that's one of those things we've got to look at and say, wow, there's something there. We can accept the word and we can grow, but are we truly, truly applying it? And look, as we're looking at this thorny ground, we're obviously getting closer and closer to the good ground, which will be in this upcoming segment.
Yay!
But here, Jesus is telling us a very pointed lesson about what we ought to be focusing on and how we ought to be focusing ourselves in relation to other things. And he's saying, make sure the gospel has your heart's full attention. The soil is your heart. It's your very being that houses the gospel. It can be there, but it can be crowded out.
And be careful of this scripture, 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs.
So Jesus is giving us this parable that the Timothy scripture is saying that when you get focused on the wrong things, we end up with the wrong results. The thorny ground is not a good place for the development of the seeds of the gospel, though the seeds of the gospel can grow there. We have to be aware of what else is in our heart and mind.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? How do we lock ourselves into being good ground for life? What's the key?
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, does God waste the seeds of the gospel? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, we, in the first hour, talked about the pathway where the seed could not even germinate. It was trampled on and snatched away by Satan. We talked about the rocky ground where the seed could germinate, but the soil wasn't deep enough and for it to have a strong hold, and it would wither. And remember, it was received with joy, but that emotion is not spirituality.
That's right.
And then we talked about the thorny ground where it is good soil.
But it's crowded out.
But it can't, the seed can't do its, fulfill its mission because there's too many other things, so it's not able to come to fruition. And now we're looking finally at the good ground. Let's look at Matthew 13:23 and then Luke 8:15.
And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance.
The description here is much different than the previous descriptions. There's something dramatically different in this environment versus the other environments. You're not crowded out. The soil is deep enough, and it's been received. And now you have the example of something happening that can really, truly move things forward. Let's go back to our resident farmer, Farmer Dement. from Modern Parables explaining seeds growing in good ground.
There's a number of things that make soil good. One is depth, moisture holding capacity. You get shallow soils with a very shallow topsoil layer and a lot of subsoil, which is poor in nutrients, deficient in nutrients, you won't get much yield. If you get a deep topsoil, high in nutrients, then you get a good yield.
So he's talking about this deep topsoil that makes for good growing conditions. And that's what this ground is. It's got the moisture. You're in a good position. Let's do some observations regarding this good ground, then we'll go to the phones.
You hear in an honest and good heart, Rick.
So, you know, you've had the hearing all along.
Yes.
But there's something different here because it's not distracted and it's in an honest and good heart.
And you understand the word.
And again, the understanding has not necessarily been the key present thing here, but there's an understanding because the ground is ready.
And you hold fast to the word and you treat it with reverence and apply it in your daily life.
You see, there's not all those other things crowding it out. And there's the depth to really hold on to it and actually apply the word reverently to your daily life.
And now spiritual fruit can be developed.
And that's what Jesus is driving at through this whole parable. There it is. That's what he's focusing on, is be that good ground that's not crowded, that's deep, that's ready to receive something bigger and stronger and spiritual and change your lives as a result.
Well, Rick, let's go to the phones. We have Dave from Indiana. Good morning, Dave, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Well, yes, I enjoy your show. I listen every Sunday.
Good.
And the first part of my thing is for Samuel. He asked a question about what does it take to get into heaven?
Yes.
And my answer to him would be, you must call on the name of your Father. Jesus, holy, holy, holy be his name in heaven, and he receives you at the gate and gives you a new name. The second part of the thing is on answering the parables, why he said these things that are difficult to understand. If you're a seed and you begin to grow with the water and the light, and you find who your Father is and you get to know him, he gives what the disciples call, and what they also say in Revelation, the morning star. The morning star is understanding. It is the voice of God, the voice of your Father. And until you receive that, you can have no understanding of it except the understanding that Jesus gave to the disciples. That's why they didn't know anything, and they were confused all the way up onto Jesus' death. And it's when he returned that they had understanding. That's all I had to say.
All right, Dave, thanks so much. We appreciate your thoughts and your input.
And thank you.
Take care.
And Dave actually brings out a good point there at the end, because he's talking about the eyes of understanding being opened, and the disciples, they didn't get the parables necessarily either the first time around.
They didn't receive the Holy Spirit until after Pentecost.
Right, and the Holy Spirit, God's power and influence, was what gave them the ability to understand these deep spiritual things.
Yes.
Which were very, very, very difficult and very different than anything they'd ever heard before. So, Dave, thanks so much for your call and your thoughts. We appreciate it very much. And, folks, if you have a thought on the seeds of the gospel, what does it take to get to heaven? 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday morning from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to get your thoughts and your perspective.
And the conversation continues online at ChristianQuestions.net. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on Facebook and our always updated blog.
What does it take to get to heaven? Let's one more time go back to some of those sound bites and get some of those people. This is from SO4JTV. On the street question, what does it take to get to heaven? Just get people's perspectives on what they think it would take to get there.
What do you think it takes to get to heaven?
By doing good, you know, just as long as you follow the Bible, go to church, you know, just do what God asks you to do, then I think you should go to heaven.
So if you're a Christian, it's about following the regulations, laws, and the scripture in the Bible. If you're Muslim, it's about following the Quran. If it's Buddhist, I don't know if they believe in an alternate universe or heaven. I think it's about reincarnation with them.
That's if you believe in heaven. I personally don't really believe in heaven myself.
All right. Variety of thoughts.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that it helps us to understand, Jonathan, that the seeds of the gospel, when we look at the world around us today, the seeds of the gospel have been sown, but they've been received or not received in a variety of different fashions.
That's true. And that kind of goes back to, why did Jesus teach in parables? Why didn't he want some to understand?
And I think that as we begin to develop that, and folks, I really want to encourage you to look at CQ Rewind on that particular question, because the bonus material goes into that in great, great detail. And you can get that at christianquestions.net. I think that the answer to that question is that there are two different parts of salvation. There is the call of true Christians.
The heavenly.
And then there is what Jesus says. There's going to come a time where everyone who's in their grave will hear the voice of the Son of Man and come forth.
Earthly.
Some to a resurrection of life, heavenly. Some to a resurrection of judgment, earthly. Because that word judgment doesn't mean final judgment, final sentence. What it means is a period of trial. And I think that's why Jesus spoke in parables. And as a matter of fact, let's look at 1 Peter 2, 9-12, because that scripture fits right on top of what we were just saying.
But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellency of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul.
So here in 1 Peter, to follow after Jesus is a daily challenge, and it's a daily responsibility. And it's talking about something that's different, and that's why the good ground is scarce in the parable.
It's also, I think, a privilege, isn't it?
It is. It's a deep, deep privilege. And he's saying, look, you weren't a people, but now you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. And a priesthood is supposed to be in place to serve others, right?
Yes.
And I think that's why when we look at it, we see the two aspects of the gospel. It's just something that we need to realize. It is a distinct privilege and responsibility. Now, let's finish up that 1 Peter scripture.
Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation.
So here, we remember talking about the two aspects of salvation.
Yes.
This scripture explains that. It says you have to stay, you have to keep yourself in that good soil category.
So in the kingdom, those that knew you and saw your example will remember it and say, oh, I remember when.
And what are they going to do when they remember it? They're going to observe them and glorify God in the day of visitation. So I think that helps us to understand that Jesus is teaching a very deep truth in this very simple parable. And he's saying that I am looking for those. So is he wasting the seeds of the gospel? No.
Not at all.
Because he's spreading it out to look for those who will be of a heart and mind to allow the gospel to grow in their lives and to change their lives, so that they in turn can be these ministers of reconciliation.
And serve others.
Right, this royal priesthood. So in that resurrection, that's what they're going to be doing. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture of a wonderful, wonderful truth that's expressed in the scriptures. Folks, if you have a thought, now would definitely be the time. 866, what's the number?
985-4255.
Yeah, you do it, okay?
That's toll free. 866-985-FOR-ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website is christianquestions.net. Thank you for bailing me out there, brother. One more soundbite from Stephen Covey, because this last scripture really focuses on the depth of and the strength of the good ground and what they're supposed to do. And here, Stephen Covey is talking about finding your voice. And I think this is a very important aspect for Christians to truly grab hold of.
Voice is when your talent and your passion, you know, what you're good at and what you love doing, overlaps what the world needs.
Simple statement. Your voice is when your talent and your passion overlap what the world needs. And when you look at the world, Jonathan, the world needs the gospel, doesn't it?
Oh, they surely do.
And if we are in a position to be good ground, if we have that opportunity and, like you said, that privilege of being good ground, then we have this responsibility, and we can find our voice in the service to the gospel,
mm-hmm.
in producing the fruits of the gospel. That's what our voice can and ought to be if we are true followers of Christ. We can't let it be crowded out by all that other junk that gets involved in our lives.
And Rick, we're all so unique and different in the schoolhouse of Christ.
As a matter of fact, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:14-18, because that's exactly the point of this next scripture.
For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any of the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were the hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired.
So here in this scripture, it's saying you are all different, and that's a good thing. So everyone's voice isn't talking on the radio. Everybody's voice isn't directly in preaching, but everybody's voice can be in promoting the gospel in their lives, in their example, and encouraging one another in this most holy faith that we have. What a great example. That's where we're supposed to be. I have a quote here from Helen Keller, Jonathan. This is terrific.
True happiness is not attained through self-gratification, but through fidelity to a worthy purpose.
So the worthy purpose of the true Christian is the gospel.
Doing the Lord's will.
There's no greater purpose. There's no lesser purpose. That is the only purpose. In Romans 8 it says, but in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor any other thing can separate us from the love of Christ. Folks, this is the parable of the seeds and the sower. We must focus on being the good ground so that the gospel has a chance to develop in us the fruits necessary toward faithfulness and to witness to others in the world of the goodness of God. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again next week with another subject, but until then, our conversation continues at our website at ChristianQuestions.net. Do join us there. We're talking about the seeds of the gospel. God places them for very specific purposes. Make sure you use it. We'll be back again next week, but until then, the seeds of the gospel and your life. Think about it.